In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Ah, that's it. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, magnify the Lord. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. You only have so much time. We only have so much time. Life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. The only things that you will do that will last is those things that you do for God. So much is temporal. But what we're doing right now, what we're doing right now is eternal. Blessing the name of Jesus, praising Him, loving Him, adoring Him, feeling after His presence, breaking bread together, praying, seeking the face of God, standing by ready to receive what God would say. Oh, what a fantastic place to be. What a wonderful place to be. What a glorious position that you are in right now. What a glorious position you are in right now. Amen. 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 Quickly minding my manners, thank you for all of the food and fellowship. Brother Cowan, Sister Cowan, I love you both dearly. I love your boys and your daughter-in-law. Where's she at? Man, just keep playing, sis. You're making me feel good. Amen. Amen. I love these people. Amen. Thank God for them in my life. Acts chapter number 2. Let's go there quickly. I don't want to delay. I believe that if we keep the sensitivity that we are feeling here, amen, that God will minister to us. Amen. Acts chapter number 2. And I'd like to begin reading with verse number 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. Says, ye men of Israel, oh Jesus, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And notice the conjunction there. There was a determined counsel against Jesus, but it wasn't just them. It was the foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because, everybody said because it was not possible. Woo! Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. There was no pain of death that could hold him down. There was no crucifying that could keep him hanging around on a cross. It was impossible. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always behold before my face, for he is on my right hand, and that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Didn't say my soul's going to rest in hope. It said my flesh, my right here and my right now. Right here, right now. We all too often think of the things to come instead of the right here and right now. The rest of the Holy Ghost is for you right here, right now. My God, have mercy. Woo! I feel faith again in this place. I said right here, right now, in your flesh, you can feel the hope and the rest of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Verse 27, and I'll stop here. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Oh, my. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Dear Jesus, we beseech you tonight to move on us in a profound and supernatural way. God touching every heart, every mind, every spirit. I'm asking you, God, to open the ears of the hearer and bring revelation of supernatural proportions to us tonight. Would you anoint my mind and my spirit, to anoint my feeble lips of clay, God, that I can preach your word, that I can minister to your glorious, wonderful, fantastic people, the sheep of your pasture, God, that they might receive your word with gladness and be healed and be delivered and find solace for their soul tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord as you're seated. Amen. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, somebody shout like you got the victory. Even if you don't really have it yet, I want you to shout like you already got it. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Because there is victory in the house. There is deliverance in this house. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. And you showed up right on time to get it. Jesus is in the house and you showed up. Amen, amen. I'm going to do my best. I want to try to preach and teach a little bit of mingled together. Y'all might just make me crazy, though, the way you're acting right now. Sit down. Amen. That's okay. I enjoy that. Amen. And I enjoy those that will preach with me and help me preach. Amen. If we take just a moment and we go back, amen, and we peek into what David had said. These verses that we just spoke in our opening were things that David had spoke in Psalms chapter number 16. In Psalms chapter number 16, verse number 7. It said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. That hath given me counsel. That counsel is literally meant deliberate advice, guidance, and this is the one I want to talk about, and purpose. I will bless the Lord who hath given me purpose. I will bless the Lord who hath given me purpose. Amen. I'm going to build some things here today and just put another brick, so to speak, in the building that your pastor has already established, that other men have already established. We're just going to lay some more bricks in the wall, if you will. Amen. Amen. He said, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The night seasons. In other words, I want to remind us that it's always not going to be nighttime. It's just a season. It's just for a little while. Amen. It may feel like it's a long time, but it is a season. And when it says the night seasons, that it is just a twist away from light. You and I do not realize just how close we are to a twist, and light will shine forth, and light will break forth into your life. Amen. It's just a twist away. Verse number 8, it said, I have set the Lord. I have set the Lord. I have set the Lord. You have to set the Lord always before me. Amen. Because he is at my right hand. He is my authority and my power. I shall not be moved. I shall not waver. I shall not. I'm going to tell you what. I shall not be moved. You look up in the original and it said, I shall not waver, slip, fall, be out of course, or fall away into decay. Let me tell you tonight that it is not the will of God for you to slip and fall. It is not the will of God for you to be out of course. It's not the will of God for you to fall into decay. You don't have to. Oh, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I say you don't understand. You don't have to when you have set the Lord always before your course. Even though there may be a night season, you're just a twist away from a breakthrough. You're just a twist away from a miracle. You're just a twist away from healing. You're just, you may say, well, don't you have something else to preach? There ain't nothing else to preach. I'll tell you the reason why. Because this is what thus saith the Lord tonight for this church. And you got to hear it again. And you got to hear it again. Because it's got to become a part of you. It can't be just a moment in your life. It needs to be a monument. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. So you see that the scripture was just referring back to what the psalmist David had said there, and we read it in Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 10 said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And I had to stop and I had to study this and look a little bit deeper. And when it talks about hell here, it means Hades, or the world of the dead, including, get this, including its accessories and inmates. A place of no return without praise of God, where the wicked are sent for their punishment, where the righteous are not abandoned. I said, what? Where the righteous are not abandoned. In other words, you've said it, and if you haven't said it, You probably felt it. You've been in times of your life where it has felt like hell. It has felt like a place of abandonment. Your life feels like it's in utter chaos and despair. Your world is dead. You feel like there's no place for return. It's hard to worship God because you feel like you're in hell in your situation. But let me remind you, in our opening setting in verse 24, it said, it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not possible that he could stay there. While it may not have been possible for him to be bound, I think of myself and I go, but my situation is different. My situation has this, and my situation has that. But let me remind somebody here today, if you have got adoption papers, I said if you've got adoption papers that were signed in blood, amen, when you went down in a watery grave of baptism in the name of Jesus, you have royal blood flowing through your veins. Therefore, you can claim this same scripture and said, it's just not possible for me to be holding in hell. It's just not possible for me to stay in a place where I can't feel and worship God. It's just not possible for the righteous to be abandoned in this place of despair. It's not possible. So the enemy of our soul, and I don't want to talk too much about him because sometimes we give him more credit than what he's due. So I'll give the credit where it's really due. Your rotten flesh. Oh, you liked it better the other way. You like blaming it on the devil the other way because you can blame him for everything. But let's face it. It's my carnal, rotten, nasty flesh that gets the best of me most of the time. Well, don't blame it on the devil all the time. Amen. It's mostly mine, my responsibility. It's me that says, I just don't see how God can. I just don't think it will work. It just looks impossible. I'm going to remind you again, it is impossible for you to stay bound. It is impossible for you to stay in that place of bondage, of depression, of oppression. Amen. It is impossible because thou wilt not leave my soul there. You have a promise today. You have a promise today. He said he will not leave your soul in hell. I'm going somewhere. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. You're not going to abandon me in this pit. This pit was meant for the enemy of my soul and his followers. You're not, this word holden means seized, detained, retained, or taken by possession. That didn't mean, I want you to listen to me, that didn't mean that he wasn't going to see it, because we know Jesus saw hell. All right? didn't mean that he wasn't going to experience some of it. Therefore, let me tell you, child of God, doesn't mean that you're not going to see. And I'm using that word hell in a broad term. I hope that it is not offensive. I'm not meaning it to be offensive by no stretch of the imagination. However, when I read you the definition, you understand what I'm talking about. You feel that place where you just can't worship. You feel like you're abandoned. All right? Remember that. I want you to remember that. You got to get a hold of that. It wasn't that he wasn't going to see it or experience it. He just wasn't going to be held captive by it. And there's a big difference. You can go through hell. You can see it. You can experience the pressures, the temptations, the trial, the struggle. But you don't have to be captive. You don't have to be seized by it. You don't have to allow it to retain you in bondage. It's not possible for me to be held captive. It's not possible for me to be detained in this pit of despair and despondency. It's not possible for me to sit there on a pew, service after service. It's not possible for you to stay like that. You may be like that today, but it's not possible for you to stay like that forever. It's just not possible. Not when the Holy Ghost gets to moving. Not when the power of God gets to moving. Not when His Spirit starts walking up and down the aisles. Something's got to break. Something's got to break. I want you to tell your neighbor, it's not possible. Yeah, tell them again. It's not possible. It's not. Y'all ain't getting this. I said, y'all ain't getting this. I said, it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Well, I don't feel that way. Well, I'm sorry whether you feel that way or you don't feel that way. It's not possible because the Word of God said it, and He's already overcome. I said He's already overcome death, hell, and the grave. You can't be bound by it. You cannot be holding by it. It doesn't matter what your mind is telling you. I'm telling you what thus saith the Word of the Lord. You cannot be held captive. All right, let me go a little bit further. Woo! I've got a testimony. Does anybody got a testimony? Now let me ask you something about that there testimony of yours. You didn't get that testimony easy, did you? You got that testimony because there was a test and you moaned all the way through it. I didn't say you murmured all the way through it. You can do that and you mess everything up. But it's all right if you moan. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. This is a tough one. You can moan all the way through that test and it's going to become your testimony. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28 said, and we know that almost everything the things, you know, it's cut. They can't be all, because that's just impossible. We know that all things work together for good. For good. When I see this and I say, we know, I got to admit something to you. When it says we know, I think that was kind of crazy. Can I be that honest? You know why? Because when I'm going through a bunch of junk and I'm walking through hell, I don't know that any of it's good. But I can say, when I get to the other side, Pastor Cowan, now I know. You feel me? Huh? You getting what I'm putting down there? After I'm done, then I can say, now I know. But before, I'm like, I ain't know nothing. I got your attention there, y'all. Got some of y'all to crack a smile. Huh? I didn't understand anything when I was going through it. So when this scripture is read, I got to scratch my head sometimes and say, we know that all things work together for good. I don't really know. I don't really understand until I get to the other side. And then I begin to know that it was working for my good. To them that love God. Is there anybody loving God here today? Huh? Oh, to them that love God. To them who are called according to His what? His purpose. Again, not my will, but thy will. Not my purpose, but your purpose. What is your purpose for me today? Brothers and sisters, this is where your purpose overcomes your problem. You see, sometimes, Brother Micah, we get to be so wrapped up in the problem, and we never think about the purpose. Let me give you this for just a moment. The purpose of God came before the crown of thorns. The purpose of God came before the ridicule, before the beating, before the cruel mockery, before the ripping out of his beard, before being lied on, before being cheated. The purpose came before the problem. The problem was he got beat up, marred more than any man could have ever been marred. He got beat. His backbone was showing, his rib cage was showing. His entrails were just about ready to fall out on the ground. You couldn't even recognize him as a man. That was a problem. Hello? That, my friend, was a problem. It was a problem for him to be hanging on that cross. A cruel death. That was a problem. But the purpose was way before the problem. And let me tell some of you, you need to get your eyes off of your problem and get to finding what your purpose is. Because when, my God have mercy, when you get to understanding your purpose, your problem doesn't mean anything. Your problem seems so insignificant. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. He hated that cross. He didn't want to do it, but he said, for the joy, for the joy, for the joy that is set before me. He was, I'm telling you, he already knew the purpose. Purpose. If you can get a hold of that, that the purpose is greater, the purpose is more profound than your problem. But we keep glorifying our problem. How about this one? Your problem is working for your purpose. I said your problem is working for your purpose. Say, oh no, like I'm going to die. Yeah, yeah. There's no temptation that hath taken you that is not common to man. Yep, yep. Say, oh, you're so mean. You're demeaning my situation. You're demeaning what I've gone through. You just don't understand. Saying, you're making fun of me right now. No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not. I'm really not. Prove it. Okay, sit down. I'll prove it. I'll prove it. You know, probably one of the most difficult things to deal with is when somebody has been sexually abused and they had no choice. From the age of 7 to 10 years old, I was sexually abused by my neighbor. I don't understand. I don't understand what pain is. You say, why would you even say this in front of anybody? I'll tell you why. You want to know why? Because I got the victory. It couldn't hold me captive. But brother, it did for a while. Matter of fact, when God first called me into the ministry, the first thing the enemy said to me is, you can't preach. You've got this. You had this happen to you in your life. You're dirty. You're vile. I know what I'm talking about. I know all the excuses of what the enemy tries to perpetrate in your mind and try to tell you that you have to stay a captive. But I'm here to tell somebody, you don't have to stay a captive. You're not holding to it. Let me tell you something. Y'all make me nervous. Let me tell you something. That you, when you don't allow God to heal you completely, what you are saying, you're not going to like me for this, but I want you to remember it forever, for the rest of your life. You're not going to like me for what I'm going to say, but it really don't matter. I love you too much to not give it to you, so you remember it forever. What you're saying is, Jesus, your blood is not good enough to take care of this. Oh, well, I never say that. You are. You are by your actions. When you don't allow the blessing of forgiveness to envelop you. When you don't allow the blessing of mercy and grace to envelop you, you see, those scars are still there. They're forever in my mind. They're not going away. They don't go away. They never go away. But I'm going to tell you, they don't hold me captive. I'm not bound. I'm not, oh, no, no, no. He's given me the victory. And so I can shout. I can dance. I can run the aisles. Why? Because I'm not being held captive by those things any longer. I'm going to tell you. And you say, well, why would you do that? I'm going to tell you why. Now, see, some of y'all think that it's just foolishness that I just told you. I'm going to tell you why. There was a purpose for what I went through. I didn't understand it. That was a major issue in my life, sis. But there was a purpose. Because now, 40-plus years later, I can stand before a congregation completely healed. So if you're still dealing with it, tonight's your night to be delivered. Tonight, oh, you say, but why? It doesn't matter why. There's a purpose for it. You've got somebody to testify to. You've got somebody to help. That problem that was in your life, there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. Whatever it was, however the abuse was, whatever the lie was, whatever the cheating was, whatever it was, there is a purpose for that problem. Don't waste your problem, folks. Don't waste your problem. Let that problem fulfill the purpose in your life. To help somebody else, to touch somebody else's life, to testify to them that, oh, this was a test, and I was pained within. I was held captive. I couldn't worship God. I felt abandoned. Oh, but he didn't leave my soul in hell. He brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me out. And now I have a purpose. I have more purpose today because of my problem. Somebody's going to get the victory here. I just feel it. I just feel it. I feel somebody going to get the victory here. There's a problem in your life. I don't know exactly what it is, and it really doesn't matter. And I'm not belittling your problem. Your problem is real. I get it, but my God said, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be holding by it. You don't have, oh, but I'm fighting depression, but I have this, and but I have, let me tell you, you don't have to be held captive. Deliver us tonight, Jesus. Deliver us tonight, Jesus. Do your perfect will here tonight and heal and set free once and for all. I'm going to tell you, you've been dealing with it for years. It's been going over and over and over in your mind. And you've struggled with it service after service. And you got a little bit of victory here. And you got a little bit of victory there. But I'm telling you, tonight is your last night. You don't have to be bound any longer. Come on, some of you still wrestling with doubt. I don't know. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your problem is. It doesn't matter if it was your uncle that messed you up, your aunt. It doesn't matter if your best friend ended up lying on you and cheating on you. I know it's painful. I know it's painful. But there's something about the balm of God. There's something about the balm of Gilead that begins to heal where nothing else can heal. There's things that no medicine can touch, no drug can touch, nothing can touch but the precious blood of Jesus. He died. He died on purpose. It was a problem. It was a situation. It was difficult. And he went to hell. He had to see it. He had to experience it. But it did not hold him there. And it doesn't have to hold you there. Come on, he's working right now. He's working right now. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I shall arise. You may have fallen. You may have fumbled. You may have messed up. But I'm going to tell you, it's time to rise. It's time to rise. It's time. Hear the word of the Lord. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you is able. He will perform it. He will perform it. You can be confident. You can rest assured tonight. He's able to perform it. The enemy's lied to you long enough. The enemy of your soul said you're not good enough. The enemy of the soul of your soul said you're dirty. You're hopeless. You can't get there. You can't have what she has. You can't have what he has. That's a lie. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It didn't say that the weapon wasn't going to be formed. It just said that it wasn't going to prosper. I said it just said it wasn't going to prosper. I want you to stand on that right now. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It's going to be formed. And he's going to try. He's going to try. But it's not going to prosper. Why? Because thus saith the word of the Lord. It shall not prosper. Come on, dig right now. Dig in the spirit. Come on, while some of you are getting a breakthrough, there's others of you that still need a breakthrough. Come on. Tonight's your night. Jesus is here. Jesus, you don't need anything else. You don't need any drugs. You don't need another book. You don't need another counseling session. You don't need anything but Jesus. Money's not going to help you. Another relationship's not going to help you. There's nothing that can help you like Jesus. Break. Breathe on us, Jesus, right now. Holy Ghost from heaven. Holy, come on. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody believe with me. Lord, in your powerful, wonderful, most holy name, we bind every spirit of hell that would come against us, that would come against our sisters, that would come against our brothers, that we would have complete victory. Complete victory. Complete healing.
That's it. That's it. I need some others to push. Come on, push into the realm of the Spirit, because miracles are happening right now. There's a myth that's just one twist away. You think you're still in darkness, but God's fixing to turn the light on. God's fixing to turn the light on. He's fixing to turn your darkness into day. He's fixing to do it right now, tonight. Come on, I know you don't believe it. I know you're struggling with it. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, if you will just reach out, He has it in store for you. Tonight. Come on, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of hell. I'm coming out of despair. I'm coming out of despondency. I'm coming out. He's not going to leave me in hell. I'm coming out in victory, in glory, in worship, in praise. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Say it. Say it. Speak words of faith. Speak words of faith right now. You say, well, I don't feel it. You don't need to feel it. Speak words of faith. Hell, you can't hold me. Depression, you can't hold me. Failure, you can't hold me. Failure, you can't hold me. I know I messed up. I know I may have failed, but you can't hold me. I'm gonna get the victory because Jesus said I can have it. There is power in the spoken word. There is power in the spoken word. You are made an overcomer by the word of your testimony. Come on, brother, right now. You're in the test and you've been moaning all the way through it. But right now, you're done. You're done. It's victory time. It's victory time. It's healing time. It's anointing time. It's deliverance right now. Ladies, come on, sisters. Come on, sisters, come on, right now, today, be the one that speaks the word, speaks the word. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, He doesn't have no hold on you. He doesn't have no hold on you. You've been blood bought. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. Come on, let Him heal you tonight. While the enemy of your soul lost his place in heaven, you don't have to lose yours. I said, you don't have to lose yours. He doesn't want you to go, and He's going to fight you tooth and nail to keep you out of heaven. But I've got news for the devil tonight. He ain't got you. He ain't got you. He doesn't hold you captive because of the blood of Jesus. I'm holding to it. I'm claiming it. I'm holding fast to the word tonight.